There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Kyler is, I mean, he's a freak, man. Purdy's a really good young player, and he's going to be a tremendous player, but Kyler is a freak, and I've followed him since he was a sophomore in high school, and I'd take him with the first pick of the draft if I could. I know he's signed up to play baseball, but he is a dominant football player, and I would take him with the first pick.
Burns, Acho, and Vilma. So, Acho, let's start. Number one pick of the draft, Cliff Kingsbury's on the clock with the Cardinals. You taking Kyler Murray?
He better take Kyler Murray because he was talking that talk. It's time for him to walk the walk. He can't be writing checks with his mouth that his actions won't cash. You got to take Kyler Murray because Cliff Kingsbury, he does much better with dual threat quarterbacks. Josh Rosen is an amazing young quarterback, but that boy Kyler Murray is special.
Otto, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know what you were smoking earlier today, but you cannot take Kyler Murray as the number one overall pick. The number one overall pick is supposed to go to the best player in the draft, and it is not Kyler Murray. And I love Kyler Murray and his play, but he's not the number one overall pick. I really hope that Cliff Kingsbury just goes back on what he said and he doesn't dig himself into a deeper hole by drafting Kyler Murray number one overall.
My man, JV, you just said it's supposed to go to the best player, and Kyler Murray is not the best player. I feel like his Heisman Trophy might say otherwise. Beyond that, I understand there's an argument for not taking him. You already have Josh Rosen, and Josh Rosen is a great young quarterback. But Kyler Murray is a dual-threat quarterback. If you brought Cliff Kingsbury to Arizona because of what he's done in college, then you better keep up the trend. And what he's done in college is utilize dual threat quarterbacks with their feet, with their arm, with their accuracy. Kyler Murray has all those things. Josh Rosen's just going to be standing back there like a statue delivering darts.
Listen, hey, if they did pick Kyler Murray, Rosen's out there. He would be traded to somebody else. But Acho, I know where you stand on this, but Vilma, better, more successful career, NFL or Major League Baseball for Kyler Murray?
Wow, better career, that's subjective. More successful, I'm going to go financial terms. So it would be Major League Baseball where he would be more successful because he would earn more money. It would all be guaranteed. He would play a lot longer. His body would be healthy. So everything says financially, Kyler Murray should play in the majors. He'll get to the majors. Clearly, he's good enough. He got a $5 million signing bonus, and he hasn't played one play in baseball. So we know successfully, if we're talking finances, it should be MLB.
JV, I agree with you. The wise man Drake once said, don't do it. Please don't do it. Kyler, don't go to football, my friend. Play baseball. It's safer. You don't have to worry about defensive linemen trying to take your head off. You make money, and it's all guaranteed. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, but guys, y'all are talking about guaranteed money. If he becomes a first-round draft pick, which he will now with Justin Herbert going back to Oregon next year, he's going to make as much money right off the bat as Lamar Jackson, probably even more with the amount of endorsement deals that he has. And it's not as
Peter,
if they're just
that's
getting
short-sighted.
JV,
you're short-sighted. We're talking about long money, man. If you told me that I could play 10 years in the majors or 10 years in the NFL, I'm taking the majors all day long. This 10 years is way more than quarterback money.
Vilma,
we're talking
Vilma,
baseball money
you're,
here.
You're talking as if it's just so easy to walk out and go, hey, here's a 10-year deal for $80 million, like Kyler Murray. Like, it's hard, okay? Mm-hmm. He's going to go to, what was it? It's Beloit. That's Beloit, Wisconsin is going to where he would play rookie ball. No one lives in Beloit, Wisconsin. I think it's a made-up name, so
yeah,
no way.
But Peter, but the point is that the projection, you project him out. They're giving him $5 million now. Clearly, he's projected out to be a very, very good baseball player for years, possibly decades to come. That's where I'm going with it. If you project it out, he has the potential to make a lot more money than just first-round NFL quarterback money.
JV, I rock with you. There's a difference between rich and being wealthy. Football players are rich. Baseball players with that long money, they wealthy.
All right. Well, both of you guys are rich in your thoughts, and I prepare for that. All right. How about this? Tate Martell. Okay. I thought we were going to talk Justin Fields today, but Tate Martell, right before the show started, says, guys, put me in the NCAA transfer portal. And the redshirt freshman, of course, has been there waiting for his opportunity for 2 years. And now He is in that portal. Now, this doesn't mean necessarily that he has to transfer, though, Acho, it allows him the opportunity to talk to other schools. What do you make of this decision from Tate?
For me, it is so tough because on one end, I'm extremely excited for Fields now going to Ohio State. But now you think about a guy like Tate Martell, worked hard the last two seasons just to get beat out. And again, he was talking that cash on Twitter. JV, you know what I'm talking about. Out there talking real reckless. And now you're going to transfer? It's just a tough, sticky situation. But I don't know. The NCAA is starting to walk a very fine line when you have a huge quarterback free agency like this 2019 year looks like.
Yeah, well, our wonderful producer, Greg Shapiro, he made it very obvious with the term college free agency. That's what this has turned into. And I love that it's making it more and more obvious and more apparent that there is no more loyalty in big time college football. It is a business. You have quarterbacks that are sitting out, redshirting, sitting out, learning the system, being told that they may be the starter, they should be the starter, and all of a sudden you bring in someone off the street, literally off the street, because why? Why is Justin Fields leaving? Everyone forgets because he couldn't handle the competition over at Georgia. Jake Fromm took it over and said, I'm going to be the quarterback and handle his business on the field. So now you want to do exactly what Justin Fields did to Jake Fromm in Georgia and expect Martell to not leave? Of course he should leave. If he's going to do it, then why not? It's a business.
Drama. I just need to have somebody's burner Instagram account, like KD, like making comments on it. Hey, Vimba, you talked about Justin Fields. All right, so he's going there. He's going to apply for immediate eligibility. Thomas Morris, the same guy who did all the Michigan players, and Shea Patterson helped those guys out. If he does play, does that mean he's the starter now with this news? And does Ohio State right there as the top five national title contender?
Well, I don't know what Ryan Day has told him or promised Justin Fields. I would make it an open quarterback competition. He should earn it just like anybody else, just like he did not earn it over at Georgia is why he left. So you have to test his character, because anytime someone is faced with adversity, if their first reaction is to run or bolt, you're not going to win anything. And regarding the possibility of him and making Ohio State better, they had Dwayne Haskins. Dwayne Haskins was the best quarterback at Ohio State for decades. There is no getting better than him, especially not next year. They'll have to try and get better, but it'll be a process.
Yo, I'm with you, JV, to some degree, but I will say this, there's no competition. In the NFL, you draft a first-round pick, the first-round pick is going to start. Whether it's day one or day two, he's getting that job. In college, if you sign a big name or get a big name transfer, a five-star transfer, he's getting that job. Justin Fields ain't go to Ohio State to sit on the bench. If he wanted to sit on the bench, he could have stayed on a nice, comfortable bench in Georgia. He chose to dip so he could start to play somewhere. There's no competition.
But Acho, that's the issue that we're talking about. We're sitting here calling out one player for putting his name in a transfer portal because he doesn't want to face the competition. And then in the next breath, we're saying, oh, because he's a five-star, he shouldn't have to be having to face competition. He should just go in and start. No, it shouldn't work that way. Five-star, three-star, one-star. You got
to
make him compete.
I'm not saying he shouldn't have to, JV, but you know what it is. It's the nature of the beast. The first-round picks, the five stars, they get first choice. They get first dibs. I wasn't that guy. I was a six-round pick. To my knowledge, I believe you were one of those first kind of top-tier kind of guys. So you just kind of got the grace that others like myself, Jonathan Vilma,
It wasn't kind of. I didn't get any kind of grace. I had
enough
to compete.
Enough.
It wasn't a kind
enough,
of grace.
Enough's enough, guys. Here's something that we can all at least agree on. The NCAA targeting rule, I have no idea what's going on. At least now the American Football Coaches Association, they got up, they were meeting in San Antonio and says, yeah, we need to change this. Coaches are looking for more of a two-tier targeting rule, much like the flagrant one and flagrant two in college basketball. Acho, is this the right answer? Because you look at this lead or this rule right now, it's two parts, one involving forcible contact with the crown of the helmet and the other making forcible contact to a head or neck of a defensive player. The penalty, 15 yards, automatic first down, and boom, you're out of here. DQ of the offending player. Acho, do we need to have like a red card, yellow card rule in college football for targeting?
My guy Burns, for me, it is incredibly simple. There are two parts to targeting. It is either incidental or it is intentional. If it is intentional, you got to get out of the game immediately. There's no place in football for it. But if it is incidental, and that is easy to identify by anybody that watches a lot of football or has played significant football, there should be grace for that. If a receiver is coming across the middle, I have already launched to tackle him, and he lowers the targeting radius, and now we make incidental contact, I should not be punished. But if I'm just headhunting, trying to take somebody's head off, then I should be punished to the 10th degree. It's simple as that. Incidental, intentional. We have to clarify.
So, Acho, are you saying yes or no you agree with the flagrant one, flagrant two?
No, I'd rewrite the whole thing myself if you let me do it. But I do agree to some degree there has to be a flagrant one, flagrant two type of difference. But I don't know that that's the right answer, JV. I'm just not convinced that we figured it out yet.
I'm convinced it should be flagrant one, flagrant two, because the coaches, players, referees all need to get together and look at the targeting plays and look and say what is malicious, what is not malicious. I'm still trying to figure out what you mean by incidental, intentional, and what you would rewrite, but this is as good as it gets for college football, because you'll have a targeting, they'll review it, and after this offseason, I would hope that players, coaches, and referees are all on the same page about what is malicious and what is not malicious. And once everything is clearly defined, then you can figure out who should be tossed and who should stay in for just a 15-yarder.
Now, I will say this. I talked to people close to the NCAA last year, the national championship game. They understand this. They actually kind of like this rule, but there was a fear that if they back down after 1 year of this targeting rule, that they would be kind of looked at as going, well, you don't really care about player safety. So I think it's going to happen in a year from now, but we still got another year that will have very questionable calls. One thing we can't question is the success of Dabo Swinney. Coming up, Arese Davis was able to talk to him, and whether or not Dabo Swinney considers 2018 one of the best ever.
There's the context of this team perhaps being one of the great, if not the greatest, champions of all time.
I think they are the greatest. And that was, you know, that was something we talked about coming into this season.
College Football Live is brought to you by LegalZoom. Get legal help for your business and family at LegalZoom.com.
Tell me a story, take one.
Hi, I'm Dabo Swinney, and I'm going to tell you a story. Summer of 89, my goal was to try to make enough money to hopefully buy a car to go back to school. I bought a Nissan Sentra 5-speed. Looked like a little BMW. It was awesome. And I literally had the car about, I don't know, a month. So this particular time, me and a friend of mine named Alex, we go park at my friend's house, had my Nissan Sentra, get out, park, second gear, and I turn around. And as I'm walking back to his truck, Alex just starts going, and he's pointing at me through the truck. And I turn around, and my car is just starting to kind of barely creep. So I get in front of the car, and I'm trying to, like, you know, I think I can maybe stop the momentum. And it won't stop. And, I mean, I'm sliding. And it just goes straight down, like a cliff. My whole life's flashing in front of me here. I dive out of the way, and I'm flipping and going through briars. I look up, and the car is just tilting over, and it's like in slow motion. And it goes over, crashes down the hill, and T-bones into a tree. Alex comes running. He's going, Swinney, Swinney. It was just this moment of disbelief. You know, here's my brand new car. I've made like one payment on it. I can't believe it. He calls a tow truck to get it, pull it up out of the bottom of their woods there. I remember calling my dad, telling him what happened, and it turns out he'd let the insurance lapse. So I got no insurance. $3,000+ worth of damage. So that car sat there till literally like the next year because I didn't have the money to get it out. So made payments on a car that I didn't have, but eventually got it back. It was the best looking bondoed up Nissan Sentra you've ever seen. It smelled pretty new still. So it was like getting a new car all over again 2 years in a row. That was my first car. Great moments, but also some tough ones too.
Oh, those are great. Check out more of V60's Tell Me a Story series on Sunday mornings on ESPN. Well, after winning his second national title in 3 years, Dabo took home the Bear Bryant Coach of the Year Award. In the morning after that game, the 44-16 trouncing of Alabama, our Reese Davis caught up with him.
Dabo, you said you watched the replay back
yeah.
a couple of times after the game. What struck you when watching the replay of the game that maybe in the moment you didn't grasp?
The complete focus of our team. I mean, I talk about the eye of the tiger all the time, man. Just a focused intensity. And that really showed through on the TV. You know, I felt it. But when you're into the game, you don't really see what's going on behind you and stuff like that. But just the energy from our team. There was a true singleness of purpose that was special.
There's the context of this team perhaps being one of the great, if not the greatest, champions of all time.
Yeah, well, I think they are the greatest. And that was, that was something we talked about coming into this season. You know, I mean, why not? Why not? That was something that day one, we always have our team goals. And then every team each year, there's kind of some challenges within the team. That I present to them. One of the things we talked about was best ever. And this team, and my challenge to them, guys, because that's something that the seniors talk about. They want to, how many wins do we need to be the winningest class? Well, you need 50. Well, they got 55. You've got to do things that have never been done before. And this team has done that all year. Coach Spurrier called me this morning. He left me a voicemail and just said that, hey, congratulations, on the game. And, man, you guys were ready. And he said, yeah, Dabo, they give them national championships out every year. He said, but to be the first 15-0 team, that's pretty special. And then he said, you need to put that on your resume. So I'm going to make sure I dust off the old resume. I'm going to put that on there. It's never been done. And not only has it never been done, we did it in convincing fashion against two of the greatest programs in the history of college football.
You've got two sons on the team, the two guys who will be in the will. No pun intended.
Yeah.
What was the first moment with them like last night?
I couldn't find them after the game. I was so frustrated. Everybody were rushing me off the field. I wanted to find my boys. I was with Kath and I had Clay, but man, it was chaos, and I wanted to be dad for a minute. So when we came out of the press conference, we went back to the field. And I just stood on the field, and Will and Drew came out, and Kath and Clay, so we were able to take a family picture and just kind of had a little moment together. I wanted them to just know how special this is. And, dad's not the only one with a national championship now. I got two sons that just got their first one, and pretty amazing moment for me as a coach and also a dad.
Might have a couple more of those dad moments, huh? Tigers dominant over the last 4 years, guys, winning 55 of 59 games, 4 ACC titles, and 2 natties. They've also spent 54 weeks in the AP top 5 and only 5 weeks outside the top 10. Velma, we use this word a lot around sports. We talk dynasties. Are the Clemson Tigers a dynasty already?
I don't know if I can say that they are. I still need to see a few more years of success, only because of how strong a word dynasty is. The Clemson Tigers are amazing. The Clemson Tigers are clearly one of the two best programs in college football and have been over the last half decade. But when you say dynasty, you think of early 90s Cowboys. You think of modern day Patriots when you're talking about seven Super Bowl appearances in the last 12 or so years. Clemson is amazing. Give me one or two more appearances over the next 3 to 4 years, then I can call them a dynasty. Right now, they're just amazing.
Yeah, I agree with you, Acho. The only thing that Clemson is missing right now is having won back-to-back national titles. Had they done that, had they won 3 titles in 4 years, 4 titles in 5 years, 3 titles in 5 years, something of that nature with the back-to-back, then I would say they're a dynasty, but right now they're just damn good. That's what they are. They are just a damn good program.
I think it's fair to say that they are only one percenters of college football, and Dabo looks like he's having a lot of fun doing it. All right, coming up also, we have our big, bold predictions, and I cannot believe what you said, Vilma. You're going to turn some heads with yours. How about a little women's hoops? Louisville, Notre Dame, you like that 1-2 matchup? tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on ESPN and always streaming live on the ESPN app. And then SportsCenter, no other place to watch it all break down. Tonight, 11 p.m., Michigan Wolverines looking to stay undefeated. Denver Nuggets playing some ball. And, yeah, we go old school. Top 10 LLA football plays. That coming up on SportsCenter tonight. Take a look at the ESPN.com way too early rankings for next season. No surprise, Clemson, Bama at the top spots. Georgia, Ohio State just missed the playoff. They are 3-4 in the rankings. Five of the top 10 teams are from the SEC. Vilma, Clemson, Alabama, 5. Should we just buy the tickets right now?
No, we should not. We got a Big 12 winner that's going to rain on that parade. We may have an SEC champion that'll rain on that parade as well.
Was that Oklahoma? Real quick, was that Oklahoma or Texas that you were talking about the Big 12 champion?
It's a Big 12 champion. I don't know which one. Big 12 champion.
All right, Otto, what do you say?
Hey, I hear him sticking up for the Big 12. Yeah, not so fast, my man Burns. I think you're going to have Georgia, Florida, LSU. They're going to be making some noise. Not to forget about Texas and Oklahoma.
That's a big, bold prediction. So, all right, Otto, you go. Big, bold prediction for 2019 is...
You said bold, I'm giving you bold. Jalen Hurts wins the Heisman in 2019. He sacrificed enough of his career for Alabama. He sacrificed enough of his career for Tuscaloosa. He's 26-2 as a starter. It's time for him to pack up, change the crimson, go to the maroon, go down there to Norman. They already won two Heismans back-to-back with quarterbacks. Jalen Hurts, it's your time to shine. I think he's going to do it.
What is he going to do now? He's going to win the Heisman? Jalen Hurts, who got beat out at Alabama with better wide receivers, he's going to win the Heisman?
Yes, has Lincoln Riley
proved you guys wrong? What do you got, Vilma?
Wow. Well, Acho, wow. I don't know what to say about that. I do know that you mentioned Georgia being a possible playoff contender, and I got Florida beating Georgia in the SEC East. Matter of fact, I got Florida going into the SEC Championship and possibly reigning in on Alabama's parade. They have their top quarterback, they have their top receiver, they have their top running back, all coming back, and they look good against Michigan. So get ready. Florida is a threat.
All right, how about this? Get the wedding bells ready. This is my bold prediction. The wedding of the year. It's not a royal wedding, but it's Tim Tebow, huh? Demi Lee Nell Peters, congratulations. 2017 Miss Universe. Tim Tebow, off the market. Acho, what are you going to get him?
Man, honestly, I don't know yet. But the hottest free agent, I guess, off the market, huh?
I'll give him some more tight jeans. He likes wearing tight jeans and tight shirts, so I'll buy him a pair.
And we'll be back. ESPN2, College Football Live 4.